Hey, it's your girl Stay Hall, and you are listening to Running for Your Life, LYFE, and we are live on Fishbowl Radio Network in the Blue Stream. If you are tuning in for the very first time, welcome, 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 and you are now officially a member of the Lifer Tribe. So not sure if you knew that just by turning on Fishbowl Radio Network, you were going to be a member of something, but that's what happens here on Running for Your Life. But it's a good thing because life is LYFE, love yourself first explicitly, and we are just a tribe of people who believe in uplifting, empowering, and encouraging, and most of all, giving ourselves and others permission to be selfish. I have two wonderful, wonderful women across from me, and they are just absolutely marvelous. These two women are powerhouses in their own right. I've had the pleasure over the past year to meet them and see what they have gone on their platform. They are two women who immediately seemed like they needed to be in this Lifer Tribe from the first conversation. We talked about what we had going on and the different things that we were trying to achieve, and they were speaking my language, y'all. It was all about empowering, uplifting, motivating, and they also believe in the power of selfishness. And so I'm going to turn over the mic to them one at a time and let them just tell you a little bit more about themselves before we delve further into this love under new management. And so, Amy, I'm going to turn over the mic to you, and if you can just give us just 30 seconds or so of Amy. Just tell us what Amy's about, what you have going on, and why you felt like coming on Running for Your Life with Stay Hall would match your platform and what you're trying to do in this world.
Oh, Stay, thank you so much. Is this good? Can you hear me okay?
Yeah,
yes, you're fine.
All right. I feel like I was born to be a lifer. That's for sure.
Well,
there's no doubt
that.
About that. And I had that same feeling when I first met you.
Oh, thank you.
I am the invincibility coach. And I came about being the invincibility coach about close to 2 years ago. I have a personal coach that I work with. And when I first met him and we had our first meeting, and he said, "What are your fitness goals?" And I wasn't prepared for that question, really.
Right.
I mean, you know, I need to work out. You know? But I looked at him and it came to me all at once, and I said, "I want to be invincible." And he was ready for kind of a paragraph, I think, of things that I wanted to do. But I said, no, really. And I mean that I want to, like, emotionally, you know, spiritually, physically, everything.
I want,
you know, and that doesn't mean as a shield. I don't want to have a shield. Mm-hmm. I want to be able to get through anything.
Yes.
Period.
Yes, that resilience.
That's it.
Yes.
And so then, you know, my business was born of that, because then, you know, my son was just about to be ready to launch, right? So I'm an empty nester now. Mm-hmm. So here we are, fast forward to today. And as it evolved, it was like, I want to help everybody else to do this too. I want to get the planet in a better mood.
Yes.
That's my goal.
Yes. I love that. The planet in a better mood. We all need a better mood. I feel like there is just not enough positivity. I love when I see people do the hashtag positive vibes only,
right?
Because it's so important.
Right.
And I love when you say invincible, because that is the subtitle of my book. It's, you know, Running for Your Life, Love Yourself First Explicitly, a weekly devotional for today's resilient woman.
Yes.
And so when
yes.
I hear you say invincible, it doesn't mean that I'm never going to go through anything. It doesn't mean that things won't happen. It just means, yes, I'm going to go through it. I'm not going to stay in it. And I'm going to come out on the other side stronger and wiser and just a better person overall. So I love that. So, Amy, tell the listeners where they can find out more about you. Get your website,
yes,
or, you know, whatever you have going on. Go ahead and give them that,
yes,
information.
So you can find me at theinvincibilitycoach.com.
Mm-hmm.
And there's contact information on there. There's numerous times you can just click the contact Amy button, which will take you essentially to, if you want to go straight to it, you can go info@theinvincibilitycoach.com.
Wonderful, wonderful.
Me. So I don't have anything, you know, I would say slicker set up from that, but it's going to come straight to me. And then, you know, I do public speaking, and I also do one-on-one coaching. And currently my clients are everywhere from California to Canada. We just talk on the phone. But again, also my public speaking, too. I work with a lot of college students.
Oh,
that is,
good.
That's
so necessary.
That is a particular focus of mine, first-generation students and historically marginalized students that can't turn to their family because a lot of them didn't go to college. And so I do work with UT Austin also, and work
that's
with
Wallace's school
of students that are just trying to follow their dreams and figure it out. And, oh, man, I can't tell you how much I love it. I just love watching that spark in their yes. eyes, you know, when
yeah.
they realize that everybody else feels the way they do, too. You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that sense
talk
of belonging.
I'm about that, so I'll stop there for
no,
now.
No, I love
but,
it.
It's a passion.
Good, and that's what I love. I love passionate people. We can't just go through the motions. Thank you, because I could only see
go.
Amy's eyes, so I love it. Just I love what you two are doing, and it is one of my passions to help spread the word and let people know I'm not crazy. It's not just me. There are other women out here who
right.
feel just like I do, who want to be able to give other women the permission to do what we've done. I know I can't reach everybody, and so that's what I love about meeting women like you, because I know somebody else is out there doing it, so then I can sleep at night. So I'm like, if I don't got them, Amy will get them. If Amy doesn't
yeah.
get them, Ann will get them, because we're a tribe. Mm-hmm. And so, Amy, what was your biggest motivation for you to go ahead and start living your passion?
So I really, honest to goodness, have been doing this in some way, shape, or form since I was about 12.
Mm.
I remember distinctly feeling like I was put here to help. And so, you know, there have been a lot of forms of that over the years. But, I mean, in all honesty, I think my mother was probably my first client. She's no longer with
okay.
us. But, you know, it was pretty evident to me that I not only felt compelled to help people, especially in suffering. That was
yeah.
my kryptonite for a long time. Mm. I've learned to kind of view it a little differently now. But if I see somebody suffering in one way, shape, or form, I want to just swoop in and do anything humanly possible to end the suffering.
Wow.
But, you know, not everybody's ready to ask for help. Not everybody's ready to receive help. So I think through the years, I learned to kind of hone this passion into, now you can't, not everybody is ready to, you
yeah.
know, for that. So, you know, I probably was borderline meddlesome in some, you know, in some ways, but,
yeah.
but the truth is if somebody's not ready, then they're not ready. I like what you were just saying about how you, about, you know, we're used to kind of waiting until we get this sign, right? I mean,
mm-hmm.
especially as women,
mm-hmm.
you know, I think that this was very profound for me, is that we're used to responding to cues.
Yes.
And so it's just the way it is, right or wrong. It doesn't really matter. I don't really
mm-hmm.
deal in right or wrong.
Exactly.
It's really my thing. But now we are the cue, you know?
Right.
So we're no longer being cued. We're no longer waiting for the cue. We get to be the cue now. And so for younger women or for the next generation, yeah, there's a lot of ways you can look at it. But I feel like collectively there are so many of us doing similar things, and we need that many people. There's not one of
yeah,
us that can
Yeah, we definitely do,
this. I mean, Oprah's done the lion's share.
But, yeah.
but honestly, you know, she gave a lot of people the bravery to continue it. And then it's just sort of radiated out, and
yes.
it just continues to do that. And I love seeing that.
While we were on break, we were kind of discussing that and kind of came up with the fact that even if you do everything it is that they want you to do, you're still not going to be the mom that you really want to be, because you're not taking that time to take care of yourself and to feed your passions. And so in this segment, I just kind of wanted to touch on that and get your opinions. And we'll start with you, Amy. We're just going to keep going in this little
sure.
circle. It's been working for us. About how you feel we should best deal with those pressures from those outside forces that are very important to us, our children,
right.
our husbands, our parents, our, you know, good friends, who are kind of making us feel like maybe we're not doing what we need to do and we need to be going down a different path. How do you feel is the best way to deal with those kind of things?
Well, so one of the tricks that I have kind of, I'm a very visual person.
Okay,
of all.
Me too.
So,
me too.
Whenever I do my public speaking, sometimes if I have like a, you know, those, like a chalkboard or a whiteboard or something, I'll draw this, but I can easily explain it. Everybody
okay.
knows what a dartboard looks like.
Absolutely.
Right? And so if you imagine taking that dartboard off the wall and placing it on a table, look at the bullseye. And pretend that that bullseye is a cup. It goes down, 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 like as though it were going into the table. Okay,
mm-hmm.
And you can fill up that bullseye. You can pour into it. Well, that bullseye is you.
Yeah,
that's you, and nobody else in the whole wide world gets to be in that bullseye but you.
Mm.
Nobody.
Yeah,
that is you. Now, you can have as many outer rings in your dartboard or your target as you want,
mm-hmm.
but everybody else in your life resides in those outer rings. And as long as you, like, so in other words, there's no more cup is half empty, cup
is
half full.
Yes, yes.
Your cup overflows.
Yes.
Your job is to make your cup overflow 100% of the time. And if you do that, what happens is that that center point, that bullseye, ends up overflowing into the outer circles.
Yes.
And as long as you continuously fill up your inner circle, it will invariably fortify the people in your life. That's the way it works.
Exactly.
But the minute you stop and you put your attention on somebody else or some other organization or some other entity, then you are no longer filling your cup, and it will deplete.
Yes.
It'll little by little by little, and you won't feel it at first. You might be able to go a week. You might be able to go a month. Mm-hmm. You might even be able to go 5 years.
Oh, yeah.
But eventually, the cup's going to run dry, and you will suffer either physically or emotionally or spiritually or all the above.
Yeah.
So if you can concentrate on the bullseye and say, I'm just going to fill up my cup. Mm-hmm. What brings me joy? What makes me glow? Because the brighter I glow, the more I'm going to shine on everybody around me. So how do you do that? Okay, so how do you do that, though? My catchword and the foundation of everything I talk about is easy. Easy. The word is easy. Everything is easy.
Yeah.
So I do that not necessarily to usurp the word hard, although I'm not a big fan of hard.
Mm-hmm.
Like I always say to tell people, since this is a shot across the bow of hard, meaning hard work, nose to the grindstone, all that business.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and the example I use sometimes is like, okay, let's pretend like you're going to transplant a tree, and let's pretend like you know exactly how to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you've got the tree, you've got the shovel, you've got everything. And you're going to dig it up, and you're going to transplant it somewhere else. Well, you're going to sweat.
Yeah.
And, you know, your back might hurt at the end of the day. Some people might say that's hard work. Well, I say you look at it, because remember, we know how to do this. We're pretending like you know exactly what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, it's going to be easy. I'm going to go transplant that tree. Now it's going to be easy.
Yes.
So whatever you do, call it easy. And the reason is because there's so much more enthusiasm behind the word easy than there is hard.
Yes.
And for some people, like David Goggins, perfect example.
Mm-hmm.
That man can look hard in the face and just eat it for breakfast.
Yeah.
At this point, there was a time when he couldn't do that.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
But he, along with a number of other people, Conor McGregor, you know, there's some people that can be like, psh, hard, give it to me. And
exactly.
They do, and like, but most of us don't respond to hard.
Yeah, I look at hard to me is the same as like the word try.
Yeah.
Really, that's just now an excuse saying,
that's
I'm just not going to do it.
That's right.
It's too hard, or I'm going to try. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'll do that tomorrow.
Yeah, because how many times when somebody asks you to go somewhere and you really don't want to go, but what do we say? Oh, I'll try to make it. You already know when you said that you're not going.
It's a mindset.
It's exactly
that's what it boils down to. It's a mindset and attitude you have toward whatever you're trying to do.
Yep. And if the if you can get yourself, and the reason I like easy is so much because it's one word. It's not a mantra. It's not an affirmation. I mean, I use tons of affirmations. I live by them.
I love
But you
got
to work up to that, because you got to memorize some stuff, and you got to, but this is one word. It's one word.
I love that. I love that.
You can think about it the second you wake up in the morning. Anytime you're going through the day, I keep them around my house. I have little signs that say easy by the fruit bowl.
Yes, I saw your Instagram is full of easy.
I brought you an easy, actually.
Oh,
but, you know, the idea is that you're walking past your fruit bowl at home, and your thoughts, you know you're thinking something. We always are thinking something.
Mm-hmm.
But you see that little sign that says easy. Anybody can make an easy sign. And
you
just stop yourself in your tracks, and you're like, oh. That's
going to
be easy.
I love that. Easy. Listeners, I need y'all getting some sticky notes and writing the word easy on there, because that's going to be easy to do. You can do it tonight, even though it's a little late in the evening, as my husband likes to say. But you can do that tonight, and that's a change that you can make tomorrow. And so those of you who are on in Radio Land, you're not going to be able to see this, but I'm going to show this to my social media peeps. I got my easy. Amy just gave me an easy. And so I love it. And thank you so much. We kind of were talking about when life happens, sometimes our plans get derailed, but it doesn't mean that it can't ever happen. Sometimes certain situations, circumstances, life happens. Sometimes we find ourselves where we have turned over the management to someone else without even realizing it, right? So we're doing everything we can to make them happy or to please them, and we're no longer in control of what we're doing. And sometimes it happens, like I said, without you even realizing it. sometimes we convince ourselves that we're happy and that this is the hand I was dealt, which that's a phrase I don't like either. I really don't understand what that means unless you are literally playing cards. But this is the hand I was dealt, and so I just have to roll with this. And we oftentimes don't switch management as quickly as we should. We've turned over the keys to someone else. We've given them the playbook and we've just said, hey, you just let me know what you want to do. But sometimes it happens so quickly because we fall into these roles of wife, mother, employee. I know a lot of people with entrepreneurial spirits, that happens to them. They start their business, but it doesn't take off the way they need it to. So they end up getting a job and never look back, but they still have that burning desire, but they've turned over management. And so I'd just like for us to talk a little bit about what happens when you realize that you've turned over the management and you're no longer the one in control, but you want to regain that control? How do you introduce that to the people in your life who kind of are used to you being a certain way? And so we know that they may not take, you know, a lot of times, even in our job, right, we have our manager and we have a certain relationship with our manager and we know how that works. And when they say, you're going to a new team, you're going to a new department, you're going to have a new manager, that's scary. You know, it's like, wait a minute, this, I'm not used to this. And so when that happens in life and the management, now we're taking power back, how do we introduce that to the people that we have given the power to? What does that look like, Amy?
So one of the ways that I like to look at it is in framing it with the word commitment. So if you look at the word commitment, a lot of times we think about commitments we've made to other people,
mm-hmm.
or commitments we've made that you know, that we don't want to go back on our commitments. And so mm-hmm. this word commitments, you know, is used a lot. So what I like to do is rein that in, and even on my website I have a phrase where I say, you are now completely released from every commitment that you have ever made and are presently feeling like you've made to someone else.
Mm-hmm.
Poof. Free. You're free.
Gone.
Okay? So now, just in that moment of freedom, think about the commitments that you've made and ask yourself, did you make that commitment to yourself or did you make it to someone else?
Yes.
And it is not the same thing. You can't say both. Mm-hmm. I mean, at least in my book, it doesn't exist. You don't, well, that's a commitment that I made to you and me. It's like, no, no. All commitments you make to yourself. This goes back to filling up your cup.
Yes.
And at first, just like the word selfish, sounds a little scary and self-centered and negative and all this stuff at first. But no, no, no. If you abide by the commitments that you make to yourself and they align with your values, mm-hmm. that's very important. If they do, then they will invariably make the people in your life, it will make their life better too.
Yeah.
Right? So other people can benefit by you keeping your commitments,
mm-hmm.
but your commitments are for yourself. And so I think that a lot of people get a little bit stretched thin because they're doing things no longer for themselves.
Yes.
They're doing it for
to please
people,
everybody else.
So there's no gas there. Mm-hmm. There's no gas for it, right? So, but if you say, no, you know, I get up and I take a 30-minute walk every morning for myself. Because when I do that, it aligns my thoughts, and then I'm a better person, and then I'm more at peace, and then I'm able to be available should somebody need me, because then I'm a whole person.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But if I mean, it sounds weird to be like, well, I'm going to get up and walk for her or for him. You know, it's like, well, so, you know, that's an easy one. You're like, obviously I'm walking for myself.
Yes. But in the end, it really helps everyone.
Though, yeah, exactly. But you graduate with these other things. Why do I go grocery shopping? Why do I pay the bills? You know, and you have to really, really say, I'm doing that for me.
Mm-hmm.
And now, or whatever portion I pay, mm-hmm. I do it for me.
Right. Because,
and other people benefit for that. And I love that.
Yeah.
You know? But it's like, you know, I sleep in this bed because I chose it. And other people might be like, well, I didn't choose that bed. So-and-so chose that bed.
Yeah.
You know, but you choose to sleep in it.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's enough. You can say, you can turn that commitment to yourself and say, no, I choose to sleep here.
Yes.
That is my commitment to myself. And yes, other people benefit by that. But so it's really about reining it in. So mm-hmm. every single thing that you feel like you've committed to, even if it's that organization that you're treasurer of or whatever, it's like, mm-hmm. well, they need me. No. just stand there on your own two feet and say, nope, I chose to do that.
Yes.
Because after all, don't do it if you don't want to do it.
Exactly.
But if you really, if some part of you feels like you really have to do it, if you feel beholden to it, just turn yourself around and look in the mirror and be like, I commit that. I did. I am committed to
exactly.
that. Not for her, not for him, not for them, for me.
Mm-hmm.
And what that ends up doing is it's an empowerment. It's a moment of empowerment. But if you're willing to do that with everything that you have in your life that you feel like you've made commitments to,
mm-hmm.
I believe that there will be some stark commitments in there where you're like, that is a commitment that I've clearly 100% made to
yes,
that person.
Exactly.
And it benefits me in no way. Then you need to have a conversation.
Yes.
You need to have a conversation with a person and be like, you know what? I'm making some changes in my life. I'm reviewing my commitments. This is how you talk to the people. This is how you have that difficult conversation.
Yes.
You say, I'm making some changes in my life and I'm really looking at my commitments and I really want to, I want to be good to myself and I want to be able to keep my commitments. So I'm reviewing. So I hope that you will give me some grace for a little while I kind of figure this out, because I might run into a few places where I need to make some adjustments. And so
yeah.
I'm just telling you ahead of time, just because I love you and because you're in my life, and it may not even affect you, but I want you to know, because this is important to me.
Yes.
And I feel like if I'm the best me that I can be by reviewing my commitments, then I'm going to make your life better. And I'm excited to see how that's going to work out, because I don't know how it's going to work out.
Yeah.
But I just know that it is, because I'm stoked
yeah.
to get going with it. That's
and it's a whole accountability piece
yes.
as well.
That's right.
It's just like when we were talking about the difference between the words easy and hard. We say hard, and so we're psyching ourselves out and already saying we can't do it. So a lot of times that turns into why even then the other word, try. You know, and so if it's going to be too hard, then there's no need to even try, which means now whatever it is just not going to get done. And that happens a lot of times, and we don't hold ourselves accountable because we have an excuse. And so I think a lot of times we get into commitments because we're afraid. And so we've committed to this thing, and now we feel like we can't break the commitment because we're going to do some sort of harm to the person that we've made the
right.
commitment to,
right.
instead of just being accountable and saying, this is something that I committed to do. And at some point, I loved when you said, you know, the commitment is about you. You did that. So when we are doing these things, there's something we're getting out of it. Even if it's
yeah.
something negative, right. there's something we are going to talk about. What you do when you are ready to step out, live your best life, put your life back in your own care. And so now you are officially love under new management, loving yourself first explicitly, ready to do all the things, you have the courage and you're ready to step out there, but then you realize it's just me. What happens if this doesn't work? We talked about failure, and we talked about how failure doesn't necessarily mean that it's over. We can fall forward. We can use our failures as stepping stones, as lessons. But I have to admit, it's a little easier to take that step, that leap of faith, to jump out of that airplane when you know you have a parachute. But when it's just you and you're not sure if there's anybody there who will be able to catch you when you fall, what advice, and we'll go back and start with you, Amy, what advice do you give someone who says, I want to do it, I believe I can, but what if I don't have anything else to fall back on? What do I do?
So I'm a huge believer of law of attraction. And the way that I love to witness that happening in my life every day, all the time, and we'll start with the support, like the safety net, like
mm-hmm.
the idea that there isn't anybody there to catch you. So I believe that whether it's through, you know, through whatever religion or spiritual support that you feel that you have in your life,
mm-hmm.
and people generally have some form of that.
Yes, something bigger than ourselves.
You know, even atheism is something to like hang your hat on,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but the thing is that you can actually appoint everyone on this planet as your support system. In
wow.
other words, it's another way of like manifesting money, too. You can be like, my money comes from everywhere and everyone in the most perfect way and in the most perfect amount of time. So I hereby appoint everyone that I come in contact through during the day as my support network. Poof. I mean, people might say, oh, that's crazy. No, you know,
but it's a mindset.
No, it is a mindset, and you just say it, and it will be. I mean, we know this can be in terms of practice or prayer. You know, it's like this can be real because I have to believe that there's at least one other person out there that feels a little bit like I do,
mm-hmm.
meaning that they might be a little nervous that there's no support around them.
Yes.
So if you're like, no, my support's everywhere. You got to say it, though. Say it all the time. You have to kind of look at what your day almost mathematically. If you, throughout your day, say, well, that's never going to happen, or some form of that, more times than you say, I think I can really do this,
mm-hmm.
then I'm sorry, but mathematically, it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Because you've professed it. So get in the habit. I like habit stacking. That's a good way to do it. Like
okay.
if you know that you have something you have to do first thing in the morning, stack another new habit on there. And it seriously might be like buy your favorite magazine.
Mm-hmm.
This is just an example. And so I'm going to do this thing that I feel like I have to do every day, right? But I'm going to allow myself and make it some ridiculously easy thing like 2 minutes. I get to sit down in a chair for 2 whole minutes and look at this magazine.
Mm-hmm.
And every time I do this thing in the morning that I feel like I have to do, I'm going to do this thing too. Because what you're doing subconsciously is you're allowing yourself this freedom to do something a little bit different.
It's hard to see when you're in the midst of it, when you feel like you're out there by yourself. But we have to just always remind ourselves of those things that, and I love that. Yeah, all things are working for my good because, like we said, even a failure is a lesson.
I have this little exercise that I work with people. It's a confidence builder, and it's a little ridiculous, but man, I love it. So anywhere you are, let's say you're driving down the road, you can look around and be like, man, you know, they built this road for me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, isn't that awesome? Like, they literally built this road for me.
Yeah.
Or if you're in the post office, you're like, isn't that cool that they like built this post office for me?
Yes.
It's not selfish because anybody can think that.
Right.
Creating your own self-importance.
Right. That's right. And anybody can think it. So it's really not, it doesn't make me better than the next person in line. Like they can think that too, that they built this post office.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. And you'd be like, isn't that fantastic?
Yeah.
You'd be like, wow.
Nice.
You know, the sunshine, it's like the sun's here for me. That's why this thing just really, I've been kind of obsessed with it lately. It's like we really are a tiny dot.
Yeah.
We're a tiny dot in this gigantic universe, which means if we're able to look at ourselves that way, we can do anything.
Absolutely.
We can go anywhere.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah, it's limitless.
Yes.
And we're the ones who put limits on it because we just don't believe it.